El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to host a podcast called Unpopular Opinion, and that podcast was this podcast. But then everyone else in the world decided they liked the name Unpopular Opinion a lot too, so we changed the name to You Don't Even Like This Show. Each week, me and a couple of guests selected from a pool of the absolute sharpest minds the LA entertainment scene has to offer, use this here space to talk about whatever the hell we want. News, pop culture, politics, information, you name it, we talk about it. And sometimes my co-host Jeff May is here too. It's a blast. You're going to love it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show. A show about news, politics, information, tech, surveillance, the surveillance state, the intelligence state, games, basketball, anything we want to talk about, especially today. We have no roadmap today. We've never done an episode like this. But here's the thing.
We're off the blueprints, baby.
Yeah. I should introduce myself. I'm Adam Todd Brown. I'm your host. Joining me as co-host this week, ooh, my favorite co-host of all, no co-host, but Jeff will be back next week. I do have not only a room full of guests, but a room full of guests who are my co-hosts on other podcasts. Case in point, Jennifer Scott is here.
Yes, it is I thought you were going to say my best friends.
Oh, I'm sorry that I didn't.
My best friends.
I feel bad. My best friends, Jen Scott and Andy Seller here.
Hi. Does this qualify as a room full? This is three people.
Yeah, but you're all here in
a small room.
You're all here in the room with me. You're not. I wish you were. But
me too.
I recorded a couple in person.
I'm bored of not.
I recorded a couple in person pods last week. It's a fun test to see who my cat does and doesn't like. That usually gets decided really quick. I like it. And here's the thing. She likes everybody.
Aww. Yeah, she's a good kitty.
She sure is. Shout out to Mimi. So, like I was saying, kind of an unconventional episode. Here's the thing. I'm having a barn burner of a week. I went into researching this episode and just got distracted by an intrapersonal affair, I guess. A work issue.
An HR problem.
Yeah, yeah. A work issue.
Oh, yeah.
If you will. And I was like, you know what? I don't have the energy to research out a whole episode this week. So I'm leaning on my best friends, Jen and Andy, to guide us through this episode. I said, hey, just come ready to talk about some shit. And this is like 90% of the podcasts on the internet, even if they have a supposed theme and a title that makes it seem like it's about one thing. It's usually just motherfuckers being like, so how was your week?
They go off the seat of their pants, which is a weird saying. And what does it mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the thing I like about having podcasts should I stop?
Because the cops are in the background. Not on this episode.
They found me.
They'll never stop coming for us.
Well, the case in point. Yeah. Other podcasts probably wouldn't bother to cut that out. Like, that's the thing I like about having podcasts that are like, you know, niche or specialty or focused or have like an organ, like a production to them.
Yeah.
Is that when you do just decide, when you don't have anything or you don't feel like doing the work, you can be like, oh, well, we'll just do an episode that's like literally every other fucking podcast. And it's not a failure. We're just stepping down a level to where everyone else is at.
Exactly.
We're stepping down to beneath us.
We're slumming it this week.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
we're
slumming it.
Slumming it. I do have one kind of a promotional thing to talk about up top.
Oh, plugs up top. Let's go.
Well,
all right. We're really off the fucking map if we're doing plugs up top.
Well, it's not really. I mean, it is plugs, but we have a bunch of stuff on sale. We're calling
it's an ad. Okay.
Yeah, it's more an ad.
Ad read.
I'm calling it the Christmas after Christmas sale because none of the things we have for sale are going to arrive in time for Christmas. Let's just be honest. It's a pre-sale. Mm. We have three different shirts. The You Don't Even Like This shirt is back in stock. Also, two shirts, designed by Jen Scott. We got a pretty scary Bam. Mothman shirt with the Mothman on it, hand drawn by Jen Scott. And also,
I did draw him
a pink version of the Conspiracy the Show Redacted Document shirt. All,
oh, that's pretty sick.
All for sale. There's a sale going through Friday. Shirts are 15% off. And the Unpops Forever Drive is back. And that is 10% off. That's a hard drive that has every fucking podcast we've ever recorded, with a handful of exceptions that have been sent to hell where they deserve to be. But it is over 100 gigabytes of podcasts. It's intense. And it's on a wow. personalized hard drive that has enough room for another however many years it's been of doing this podcast, like 10 years. 10. Anyway, youdontshow.link/store. Go look at all that. All right.
Whoa. I was just thinking 10 years. The first time I remember being on an episode, I think it was M. Night Shyamalan.
That was a fight cast. Yeah.
Yeah, with Joe K.
And I think you lost, right?
Yeah, I mean, people like M. Night Shyamalan, I don't care. It's fine. You can if you want. I think he's trash, but whatever.
Trash is a strong word. He had a run of bad films.
And this is coming from someone who tends to like trash. I just don't like his trash.
Yeah, okay.
Not every trash is for you.
That's understandable.
I mean, exactly. That's fair. I'm saying, if you like him. Whatever. Sure. Go with
M. Night like him.
M. Night... I was going to try and work like sense. Into his
I'll
name.
I'll say it. I had a really bad burrito and I'm really thrown off.
So a bad burrito will do that.
Yeah,
a
bad burrito will definitely do that. Yeah, we were talking about this beforehand. I'm not a huge fan of breakfast burritos. I think they're mostly overrated.
A mistake. I like breakfast burritos, not a frozen microwavable kind. It was a huge mistake. The better option is to eat nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. Never do the microwave breakfast burritos. They're never good. Literally never good. I'm with you, Adam, except for the state of New Mexico. If you order a breakfast burrito in the state of New Mexico, yeah, pretty much anywhere there, it's going to be great.
I was going to say
literally everywhere else.
I was going to say two exceptions. New Mexico, they are the breakfast burrito capital of the planet, the universe.
Yeah, it's undisputed.
Just for that. Yeah. 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 New Mexico is a place you should absolutely just go to for the food. Sometime it's like Jesus, no other food anywhere else. It's fucking great.
I haven't been back in a while, but anytime I do, I would go. It was always like, okay, I got to plan out my restaurants.
See, I'm always a red chili guy, and I feel like that's not the popular choice. Keeping with my internet demeanor.
Yeah, I love Christmas. I'm a Christmas chili fan.
Here's why I'll never do Christmas. First time I went to New Mexico, I ordered enchiladas. And they asked if I wanted red or green sauce. And I said, can I get both? And she goes, do you mean Christmas?
Well, it's like, okay. I didn't write off the whole right concept. Now.
Yeah, no, I'm
Christmas
done.
Christmas chili because one waitstaff person done. Was shitty to you.
Done.
Okay.
Red only well, from now I, on.
Here's the thing.
I just learned about this right now.
I call it communist.
Okay. I'm with you only because I can't eat green chili anymore. And it's the most one of the most devastating things to me is it destroys my insides. Like it, really? I have like, I don't know if it's an ulcer or what. I'm getting,
it's such
I'm
a mild chile. Done.
Okay. To eat green chili again, only not for your health,
but it's green. Yeah. Green peppers of any kind. They're like different from when you let the peppers ripen to red, and they mess me up. I can't eat green peppers at all now. So I am solely red chili at this point. But my partner just brought me back some Chimayo red chili, which is my favorite, and I'm really excited about it. Red chili forever.
Red chili forever. I was like also going to say Larry's in Burbank, one of the best breakfast burritos. Oh,
good breakfast
I've ever
burrito.
Had.
Yeah. Yep.
And in part because their green chili is so good. Their green chili salsa. Yeah.
Oh. I do miss that spot, going to that spot a lot with you, Adam. It was very fun.
I spent so much money at Larry's when we had the studio.
They could take all my money.
Right next door. Oh, man. And they had such a vast menu. Yeah, and true. You could get a puppy patty, which I would always do. It was a little turkey burger patty that they would cook up for your dog. And
oh, well.
So cute.
My dog was way into it.
I didn't know about that.
I had a tuna melt there once that slapped so hard.
I remember you ordering a tuna melt. I was like, that's...
I thought it was a weird choice, that, and it was so good.
That is such a choice. Oh, I've never ordered a tuna melt in my life.
Oh, what? I love
They're
tuna
good
melts.
As fuck.
They're so good.
Good as fuck.
I like a tuna sando
underrated
on,
meal.
On toast, but I don't know if I want a hot tuna.
I think I want one today. I'm already on a weird stomach day. Let's go. Tuna melt next.
So, Andy, you said you thought of a bunch of stuff you want to talk about.
Yeah.
Because me and Jen are struggling. I mean, I'll talk about Caitlin Clark hitting 3,000 career points, but...
Fuck yes, dude.
We'll do that.
Wait, what's
fuck
that?
Yes.
She is a...
Caitlin Clark, legend.
Women's college basketball player who people sometimes call the Steph Curry of women's college basketball, because, man, she can hit a fucking three-pointer.
Dude, she's the best.
And she is the fastest to reach 3,000 career points, and... If she averages something like 26 points a game this season, she'll become the all-time leading scorer. And she has another year of eligibility. And normally you would think, well, yeah, so you hightail it to
go pro.
The pros. But in this case, we're talking the WNBA, which is to say, oh, yeah, go hightail it to that league where you'll make $85,000 in a season. Like, she'll make more money staying in college. For another year.
That's wild.
Because now you can do...
The WNBA sucks that bad that she would make more money in college.
We've talked about it a couple times on this pod. The WNBA, like the highest paid player, I think maybe makes $200,000 a season.
That's so fucking gross.
And the minimum NBA salary is like millions. Like it's not even sort of proportionate.
Here's the thing. The disproportion is the problem.
Yes.
Someone making only $200,000 a year is not the problem. Like,
no,
I think everybody should be brought down to $200,000 a year.
Well,
maybe it's the inequality.
And I don't want to I don't want to hang on this too much because I've talked about it a bunch on the pod. But the big problem with the WNBA, you can always make that argument. Well, they don't have as many games. They don't bring in as much money. Tickets are less expensive. All of that. Sure. That is a perfectly valid argument for why there's no one making $58 million over 3 years in the WNBA. But the issue is that if the NBA shared revenue with WNBA players the way they share it with NBA players, then the highest paid WNBA player would be like $800,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. And that's way more respectable for... I mean, they play like a 32-game season, I think. Like, it's a relatively short season. So there's that, too. There's fewer games. But then no one's complaining about salary. I mean, there would still be some complaints, but...
When I played basketball as, like, a Park District child, I would foul out of, like, every game for, like, hitting girls.
That doesn't seem like you at all.
That's... I mean, I'm going to say it's not surprising, personally, but...
Yeah,
I just like have vivid memories of like not even wanting to play. Do I have a delay? I feel like I have a delay because I also want to talk and then it's like,
no,
yeah, that.
What? No, I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe we're just so shocked by the things you say.
Now.
Oh, yeah. Did you just hear me say that?
Should I leave and come back? Because I feel like I keep accidentally interrupting you guys.
Oh, I wonder if you just have a delay with Andy. Because you said now, like immediately after Andy said it on my end. Try it again.
For you? Oh, it's me again.
Try it. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is crazy. Ooh.
Oh. Wait,
Andy,
so
say
should
now.
I leave and come back, or is it Andy's fault?
Should I say now?
Say now.
Now.
Oh, it's so long.
Oh, yeah. That was a delay.
Whoa, it's me. I'm the one.
Hello. Is it you we're looking for? You know what? I'm going to fucking leave this in the podcast, too.
I love
this. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Show people how it is on the other side of the tracks where people don't
learn how we have to deal with things of being like, are we talking over each other?
I should get paid $800,000 a year.
We should certainly for the tough work we do, the emotional labor of delays.
Yes. Yes. This kind of thing usually ends up in the outtakes, which you only hear if you're a subscriber. Not that I'm going to run another plug by you, but you don't pod.supercast.com. We got all kinds of new subscription options, including lifetime subscriptions. lifetime. We're bound together until we're released from this mortal coil. Both of us, all of us. We're going to live forever.
That's a little much.
Hey, thanks, Andy. I appreciate that.
But you know what? I love it. Fuck it. These are wild times. We got to be wild.
We got to be. Andy, what the fuck do you want to talk about?
I'm going to talk about why my cats won't stop meowing when I'm doing this.
Fine.
I didn't hear a damn meow. And if we did, it would be on a delay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to, well, okay, maybe this is too much, but I was going to do, I mean, I'm often too much. Are any of the three of us, see my questions, the things I want to talk about are all just like questions for the group that are like okay, kind of personal. That. What are we at with our lives kind of stuff?
Okay. I'm into that.
Are any of us current? I know my answer is no, but are either of you currently doing stand up?
Kind of. I need to find a spot down here that I can do it regularly because getting to LA from where I am for an unpaid bar show is a tough ask at my age, baby. So I need to find a spot down here, but I've done it a few times this year. Yeah.
As of now, I do not identify as a stand-up comedian because I think that they're all fucking garbage people and I don't want to be associated with them. Yeah. But I am, in fact, a very funny performer that does get booked on things sometimes. And then also I am working on my hour. So, but I don't consider it to be stand up because it's not. It's insane.
I still want to tour. Me and Kim Crawl. And I don't know if Jeff knows, but also Jeff have been kicking around the idea of touring next year. It's mostly been me and Kim talking about it, but I'm sure she's run it.
I was going to say, fuck off. We've talked about it. Fuck Kim.
Jesus.
I really want to tour.
There's plenty. It's not like we're going to go on the fucking Eras tour and be out all year. I can do multiple tours.
Well, that is what I want, is specifically to tour the biggest stadiums possible.
But that is what I'm going to focus on going forward a little more in terms of comedy. Yeah. Is trying to go out.
I simply
on the road
don't know how to tour. Is the reality of it?
I mean, here's it's the dumbest. It's
like, hey, lose
I don't
money.
Know. It's bit.
Yeah, it's like, I how much know, money do you want? Yeah, lose? You don't. That's the question.
There's no exactly. It's you don't. Well, then you don't I'm not make do money it. On tour. I haven't done stand up in gosh 3 years now. I think the last thing I did was an Unpops Zoom show.
Oh yeah.
And I haven't done any kind of stand up since. I haven't been on a stage since. And so I'm with you. I don't identify as one. And also, yeah, I think they're mostly garbage. But I miss it so much. Like I miss the act of doing it and some of the like camaraderie and community you can feel in it so much, but everything else about it, I hate so much and find so toxic. And I've lost respect for so many people that I used to really greatly admire in the last few years. And I don't even know, like, I don't know anybody here that does it. Like,
yeah,
really. Like everybody I know in Minneapolis that did stand up either quit or moved. So I don't even know how, so I'd have to go back out to open mics again. And the thought of going to an open mic as a 43-year-old man who hasn't had a drink in 8 years is incredibly depressing to me.
Yeah. I would start like, smoking again if I had to hit open mics, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, my PAX Plus would be coming with me.
Yeah. I now understand the people who are like douchebags about performing. Like now, if I get to a certain like level that I want to be at, I will absolutely be one of those people who's like, I'm going to walk in on stage, do my set and fucking leave because I fucking hate all of you.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was shitty when I saw people do that, but now I fucking get it. And I absolutely would be doing that.
I don't know how often it happens now because I'm not trying to get booked on people's shows, but that thing where in LA people are like, oh, come out, come hang out, and maybe you'll get booked. It's like
if you don't hang out, you don't get booked.
Yeah. Do you know how hard it is to get around in LA? Like, why put that on people? Like, I had a show at a place on the west side and Dan St. Germain was on the show and he just like kind of dropped.
I forgot that was a person.
Yeah. And at the time, like, I don't even know what's going on with him now. Has he been canceled? Like, I don't.
He's just,
I don't know.
Sucks.
Probably don't he's know. A stand-up comic, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's like who can keep track? But at the time, he was like he was a pretty big name, or like a pretty good name to have on your LA bar
at
show.
At least rhymed.
And he like reached out to a couple shows, and they were all like, "Yeah, I mean, if you got time to come hang out, maybe we can book you next time you're in town." And it's like, what are you fucking thinking? Like, that's probably the biggest name you're gonna get for a while.
Yeah, meanwhile, if you were on Conan and had like even the worst set ever, or you know, you have some TV credit, you don't have to do shit.
It's just about having
people ask you. It's such a.
I'm gonna start lying.
The fucking shit, man. Of like the year that I was still doing stand up after I quit drinking, and like was getting better and getting better at it, and kind and working towards another tour and hopefully recording something, and then. You know, having to take a brief hiatus for a minute and then just watching it like dry the fuck up. Like nobody talking to me, nobody saying, hey, like people that I'd considered close friends for like a decade suddenly just were like, oh, no, these are coworkers at a job I'm quitting, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like it fucks with you. And I couldn't hang out because, you know, for a number of reasons, it was like, oh, are you going to hang out at a bar? Because fuck that.
Like,
I will not hang out at a bar.
Yeah. I wasn't drinking, and it was like, I don't want to listen to 3 hours of 20 something dipshits, you know, bat around mild homophobia and casual misogyny the entire time while I wait to go up to do 3 minutes to nobody.
Yeah.
Like it was just like, I'm not fucking doing that. But I think the problem is that, we just have to like start going where those people aren't, or forming our own.
That's what I do.
Communities or whatever, because it's just like, I would hang out and support if it was like in a space that felt comfortable with other people that weren't like exhausting. Yeah. And safe. And where it was like a good time. And it's just, until we have that, I don't know. I don't want to do it.
Exactly. I work really hard to try to make places safe, and it's hell, and it makes me want to explode. And what I've found is that I'm only performing really at theaters. I'm not performing at bars. Like, I'm only performing in spaces that are fucking for performing.
Yeah.
Period. Like, I don't want to hang out with people at bars. I don't want to interact with people that are trying to fuck me. I don't want to fucking, I mean, that's everyone, but whatever. I don't want to deal with it any more than I have to. So if I'm at a theater, at least the people that are trying to fuck me are not drunk.
True.
Well, I don't know. I've been drunk at a lot of theaters.
You know what I'm talking about, though? Like, I'll do my show in the middle of the day where they don't serve alcohol. So if you're drunk, that's on you.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. I miss it. And I was just wondering, cause I know that all three of us have like been in and out of it at different times. And I was just wondering what you guys' experience was at the moment with it. Cause
I have huge lulls, and then I'll get booked on like 5 shows back to back. And it's just what I'm focused on for me is being undeniable. So if I ask someone, they can't say no to me, because they don't want to say no to me because I have XYZ that would help them. And I fucking hate it. And I want to explode all the time.
Yeah. See, that's sort of where I was that when I was still doing it in LA, was that I had that attitude about it. And then when I moved, it was just like, maybe I'll do stand up again just because I don't have to be that way. You know what I mean? You have to be that way in LA. Like you also
can't care at the same time. If you care too much, fuck, you're fucked.
Exactly. And that's what I was thinking is like, if I'm doing it in a scene where that's not dominated by this industry that is so stressful and so exhausting and so evil, there's not that pressure and there's not those stakes. And I could go and be like, I don't give a fuck. I just wrote like 4 jokes this week and I want to go work them out and see if they make me laugh. And I don't care if anybody else loves it. But now it's just like, the thought of doing it is like, ugh.
What I struggle with a lot is being like, okay, so then do all these assholes just win? We just give them the space. They just win?
I've had that conversation a lot of times with people, mostly in Twitter DMs, with like the five or six comics that haven't muted me. Like when we talk about the state of it, and it's like, yeah, somebody recently, I'm trying to remember who it was, said that to me in a conversation of just like, well, we can't let them win. That's the problem, is if we all leave, they take it over. And that's how they got in the first place.
To the same point, it's not about fucking winning. None of us ever got in this to win.
Oh, I don't think that's true. Yeah. I don't know that that's
none of us. True. The three of us were not like, I'm starting out this journey to fucking win. And that is the problem, is those assholes do have a mindset of winning. And we were like, we just wanted to have fun and make people laugh.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. You kind of have to decide what kind of comic you want to be. Like, you're not going to get on Conan without being that. Like, that's just no one's going to like, it's, I mean, it might happen one in every 1,000 people who are on a late night talk show where someone's just in the crowd and is like, oh shit, you're dope. Yeah. I want you to be on TV. But in most cases, you're going to have to be that kind of comic to accomplish those kind of things. And like,
but
wanting to be both is unrealistic, I think. Like,
that's the thing. I agree with you. And I think we need to abandon that part of it. Like the industry apparatus that exists in that space, like we need to just walk those of us who don't want to be a part of that and aren't interested in that form of success and aren't interested in being like, I don't know, corporate spokespeople or like virulent transphobes for Netflix or whatever. Like we just abandon that. We walk away from that and start our own shit. Like Yodoye Travis has been talking about this in his Instagram stories occasionally about like, you know, the complicity of being a part of that industry.
Yeah.
And it's horrible. What do the rest of us do?
Truly, when people ask me about stand-up, I know that it seems like I'm joking, but I'm so serious when I say that I do not want to be associated with those people.
Yeah.
And like I'm very protective of it right now because I did make fun of it a lot before I kind of subsided to this, but I have found a lot of community and nice people in the clowning community, which I never thought I'd be saying. I feel like a couple weeks ago, Adam, I was even like, these fucking clowns are everywhere. And now I'm like, I love these fucking clowns. They just want to perform. They don't care about clout. They're not about like pushing each other down to be better. They're just about having the most fun performing and the interaction with the audience. And like, I'm sure that there's fucking gatekeepy clown shit that I'm not aware of yet because it is still LA. But like, honestly, it's so ridiculous. They call themselves either clowns or idiots. Like, and so like, I don't know. It's just been nice to be around people who actually care about the performance and not care about all of the bullshit industry of it. Cause they're clowns. It's not like they're sucking the dick of any production company.
So I think to be a part, like, I mean, all obviously any cultural movement or institution is going to have shitheads in it because we all exist under capitalism and that just breeds shitheads. So like, there's going to be gatekeepy clowns or abusive clowns or predator clowns, like
killer clowns from outer space.
Killer clowns from outer space. But I feel like you find the people that are actually dedicated to the fuck it, let's do it of it all in those like cultural mediums that are not, let's face it, that are like a little archaic or a little obscure or not, that don't have a mainstream field for success. Like, you know, the clowns aren't getting Netflix shows. Like,
I'm not going to lie to you. I took a 2-day clown intensive with the late great Chad Damiani, and it fucking changed my life. I'll say it. Like, I was like fucking so burnt on performing, so burnt on everything. And I did it, and it was the fucking best shit ever because he just dunks on all of it the whole fucking time. And it's like exactly what you think a shitty acting or comedy class would be with an asshole teacher, but he's leaning into it and the whole thing's a bit. It's fucking incredible.
That's awesome.
So like, you know, the thing, the shitty thing of like when you go around the room in a circle and say your name and say why you're here or whatever the fuck in every class ever, he'll like do that. And then, you know, like the test of was anyone listening and like name everyone who just said their thing and why they're here. He'll do shit like that. But then he'll be like, okay, person in the middle, now rank everyone. Well, who you think is going to most be the most successful to worst successful in the class? Nice. And reorder everyone.
That's devious.
Funny because it puts everyone at a certain level that they're like, fuck. It's really funny.
I like that.
Well, yeah, that's what clowns are about, shaking shit up.
Let's go on a clown tour.
I don't know if I ever told you.
Go ahead.
What? Oh, I was going to say, I don't know if I ever told you this. I almost dropped out of college to go to clown school when I was like, I think 19, 20, that area. My body couldn't take it now.
Oh yeah.
It's way more physical than stand-up. Physical comedy. I did scream so loud that my voice hurt.
Yeah, I sat in on a tumbling class at the Clown College in San Francisco once for a little bit just to watch. And it was like, it was amazing, but it was also like, my knees are wrecked already. I don't know.
Clown Daddy Chad is like ripped. He's like fucking so ripped. It's crazy. Clowns are strong.
Yeah, I like that idea that like people give clowns so much shit, but just push it enough sometime and you're going to get born supremacied by a fucking clown in a goddamn bar. Just get punched 15 times before you even realize you're getting punched.
He's going to be on a headset communicating.
They also like willingly mentor each other, which is something that you never see in stand-up. They're like kind and help each other.
So much of the history of clowning is like rooted in like anarchist politics. Like,
yes,
so like much of it
is clowns like that all this shit
Dario
was
Faux.
Up, they're all fucking psycho anarchists.
Yeah. Yeah. So much of it is about like collectivism. It's great.
I'm into it. And I really was being a hater because it's so easy to be. Like, I feel like the same kind of mentality with like any astrology stuff is what I had towards clowning. And then when I was like, if I look at it a little closer, okay, this is maybe fun and gives me hope. Fuck.
Yeah, people will dunk on anything like ventriloquism or magicians or, you know, it's like, but then you like meet a magician. I mean, I don't know. There's creepy magicians.
Yeah, there's
probably shitty ventriloquists.
Yeah,
like Jeff Dunham is terrible.
Yeah. But magic itself, if you know how to do that shit, that's cool. I'm sorry. Like, I don't.
It's so cool.
Like,
yeah.
I understand it's not real. Like, I get that there is trickery involved, but like, go look at that clip of Harrison Ford pulling his card out of a fucking sealed orange that was on his counter and telling David Blaine to get the fuck out of his house.
Get like, out.
That's cool as shit to be able
to. It's incredible. If it really comes down to if you're a good performer, it's a good show. And like so many stand-up comics are not good performers, and I'd rather fucking peel my skin off and tear my eyes out than ever see them again.
Yeah.
Well, because it's an art form that requires so little of the performer to do. Like, you don't have to have any formal training. It's literally just you get up on a stage, you have a microphone, and you talk. Like, there's nothing else to it. So if you have unearned confidence, or if you're a psychopath of some sort, like, it's super appealing, especially to narcissists, because it's not collaborative. And it exists in this framework, this context of an industry that is, like, manufactured competition.
And
so it really appeals to psychopaths and narcissists.
And it's really the easiest form of entertainment. Like, when I was on the,
you don't have to do shit. You don't have to learn dancing.
When I was on the Portugal the Man tour, I was talking to Kyle, the keyboard player, and he was like, "Man, I don't know how you get up there without like an instrument to hide behind or something." And it's like, "Oh, you got that all backwards. Like what you do is hard." Like this, and we're talking about a dude who sings and plays two different fucking keyboards with different hands.
And
at the
like,
same
what you
time
do is amazing.
And he's like, "How do you just get up there and talk?" And it's like, because all I have to do is get up there and talk. Like that's a pretty like, low barrier of entry. I just need someone to hand me a microphone and that's it.
Yeah. People like, will be like, how do you do that? It's so naked. It's so raw. You're so vulnerable. And it's like, it's so easy. It's so lazy.
When I was like, announced that I was running the first run of my hour, everyone was like, "Ooh, an hour is a really long time. Like, how are you going to do that?" And I was like, "I talk for an hour most days. What do you fucking mean? It's so easy."
Yeah.
If I had no material, I could get up there and talk for an hour. Like, it was nothing.
Yeah, an hour shouldn't be that hard if you're a comedian.
Yeah. Like, is the thing. Yeah, it's an easy thing. It's not a difficult thing to do. It's a very difficult thing to do well.
Yes.
For a lot
not
of reasons, but it's
yeah, not if you're,
but yeah, not if you've put in your 10K hours, baby.
Yeah. which I almost certainly have not.
That for me, that's so sad.
Yeah, I don't know what numbers are. So 10K hours, sure. What is that, a day? Four days?
Something like that.
Six months.
I don't know.
20 years. I don't know.
And then my parents were like, time to be in the modeling industry. So I've been performing way too long.
Yeah. I hosted
Me too. I had to mask mental disorders. So that's performance.
That's the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. I was a telemarketer. That counts.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Honestly, all corporate jobs are performance art at this point. It's so sad. Dude, you just have to be a whole different person, robot.
Yeah.
If you've ever worked in customer service, you could probably win an Oscar.
You've logged your 10K hours in acting for sure.
Yeah. And you deserve that Oscar. Working customer service sucks. Yeah.
We all deserve Oscars because Oscars are meaningless.
So
I threw a laptop at a wall once working for Hulu.
Oh, I mean, that's a transition.
I couldn't act anymore. I'm not that good of an actor. I'm only a good performer. And what a performance that was.
Because I was going to say, I know people were probably expecting us to get into the anarchist leanings of the clown industry on this.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe we should switch it up and talk about something. What else do we got?
I feel like that was Andy's first thing,
and it took us.
I have a thing.
Jen, what do you got?
Yeah, that was my first thing. I got a whole list here. So Jen,
how do you guys feel about this?
This is so good for me. I haven't had to do shit.
Exactly.
How do you guys feel about any of the like AA and AA spinoffs of everything? Like all of the Anonymous, all of the I'm just curious because I just learned about a bunch of different ones.
Well, I mean, Anonymous as an internet organization that takes down
the cyber hackers,
crooked politicians and pedophiles. Love them. One of the first outfits to follow me back on Blue Sky. So shout out to that, which is also a little alarming. You set up the account and immediately Anonymous is like on it. It's like, what? Wait, we're friends.
I guess I am talking about this instead. What?
No, I'm joking. But
how do we feel about it? Because the 12-step program, I think, helps a lot of people, but I do think it's kind of culty.
Yeah, well, it's like anything that's organized around, you know,
God,
things that are so heavily defining as to be conflated with identity, you know, or sense of self. Yeah. Like addiction is deep, you know. I think it's a complicated, complex thing, and I think that, like, you know, I've seen it do wonders for a lot of people. I've also seen it like fail a lot of people.
I feel like that part is not talked about that much.
Yeah. I've also seen it be work for people, but then slowly turn them into monsters.
Let me see if I can.
Who think that everything is an addiction?
They start to form it. Like, really, I find that it really encourages, like, what's that called? Apophenia or, you know, mistaking coincidence for part of a pattern. And so like they get really heavy into conspiracy theories because everything has like a higher intellectual creation behind it. So like, yeah, ooh. I've seen people go into AA and it worked really well for them. And then like within a few years, they're like, you know, hey, did you know about the lizard people?
Yeah. Like, cause it's,
oh God.
I feel like it can breed the weirdest mentality,
yeah.
But I'm sure it helps a lot of people.
And I think it's like anything. It you know, it can be used for good or ill.
I just think the government's deeply involved in it.
Yeah.
Because
the lizard people are deeply involved.
The lizard people. No, because I learned that you frequently will get like when you have a drinking or drug offense, but it's not something that you do time for, dude, like being under the influence, that they mandate AA meetings.
Yeah.
And I'm how is that Anonymous?
they'll mandate AA meetings and they'll mandate classes and seminars and things. And I can't go into the proper nouns and details of it, obviously, but like I've been exposed to like some of the things that are like court and state mandated regarding addiction, like some of the teaching materials they use. And it's like deeply problematic shit. It's like,
yes,
it's like a lot of it's very moral majority, very right wing, like Christian, founded upon like apocryphal bullshit, like false information and data, like it's moral panic shit in a lot of cases. And it's really like, and it's harmful because you're taking people who or have addiction problems and putting them into this thing where it's like, you know, hey, here's a bunch of conservative, extremely conservative talking points about how you should be living your life. And it's court mandated. So if you don't, you know, if you don't willfully engage with
God.
Well, yeah, it's also one of those things where it's kind of like the Boy Scouts, where for the longest time, and I think still, the Boy Scouts, just because they needed people to volunteer, would just let any fucking single dude in his 30s be like, yeah, I'll take that group of young boys out to the woods with me. And people were getting molested and raped for decades and decades and decades. And the Boy Scouts had files on all this. Oh, wait for the... Actually, no, I won't.
The sufferings, the
police are going to shut my point down, or whoever that is suffering a medical emergency. I'm very sorry.
I live very close to a hospital, so yeah, that's so it's sad.
Probably an ambulance. But there's a documentary out there called The 13th Step that is about exactly this thing, like all of these concerns with AA. And there's a lot of, if you can believe it, predatory behavior in AA, where someone will be like, oh yeah, I'm your sponsor. And it'll be like a young single mother who is, you know, at her most vulnerable. She's hit rock bottom. She's coming out of it. And there's this person who's like, hey, I've been in AA for 25 years. I can guide you through this, young lady. And then he just turns out to be a fucking sex creep. And just get exposed to that.
Just like in stand up.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like it's the same kind of thing where there's no HR and people do it because they need guidance in their life. And sometimes they're exposed to harmful people in that environment. And the key is to walk away, take your community elsewhere.
Yes.
Yep. Also, I just feel like a lot of times it breeds a mentality that everything that's wrong in your life is therefore an addiction you should stop. And I don't agree with that.
No, again, there are groups that aren't AA affiliated that are like that take some of the pages from the AA book or, you know, use some of the same kind of techniques, but abandon some of the others. It's kind of like religion. It's like you have your people that are Orthodox and then your offshoots that don't agree with it. Like, and so I've seen people like find really good community through recovery groups, but there's also, there's the toxic ones that are full of shitheads that are going to be like, you know, also like, wasn't there that the story about the teen alcoholic? Remember that? It was in the, I want to say the 60s or 70s where there was like a teenage alcoholic who was like a big news story an and she was a big a part of AA. But then it turned out her whole story was kind of bullshit.
Oh,
she just wanted friends that were adults.
I mean, I want to say it was something like the parents in the group used her. Like she was like, you know, experimenting with drinking at a young age, because sometimes you do that, but she wasn't like a full blown alcoholic, but they had this whole narrative. I feel like I should shut up because I don't know all the details and I might be misinformed.
I was like, I feel like you're just talking about me in high school.
Yeah.
I didn't do AA.
Yeah. That 13th step documentary.
I mean, I'm talking about a lot of my friends in high school.
That 13th step documentary goes into a bunch of the alternatives that are out there. Cause that's the thing I think people don't know. It's like, it's not like AA is the only outfit.
Well, that's, I think
the trying thing to help
that
people.
I found strange is that a organization that's largely based in a higher power of God is being government mandated.
Yeah.
That seems ishy to me. And then when I look at the literature that they have people filling out for their first times, it's like your fear inventory, and like that just seems so scary.
I mean,
filling out a fear inventory is my fear.
Yeah, that is cult shit in a lot of ways. Yes. Like that is what,
like that, if I'm signing up for something and I have to now list everything I'm scared of, what are you using that information for?
Yeah. Or if they're like, list everything bad you've ever done, it's like, wow.
Yeah,
what's that? What's
list
that
everything that scares you. Give me all of your time. I need to keep track of everything you've done. Kind of shit.
But then there's organizations that do stuff like that where it's like, well, this information doesn't go anywhere. Like it's just for you to hold on to. Like it's a workbook so that you are writing these things out for yourself in your own use.
Right.
And yeah, like I said, there's plenty of groups that aren't specifically AA. And as far as government mandated shit, man, like there's so much creepy fascist right-wing nonsense that gets government mandated, you know, yes. for court ordery shit.
And I think
because we're a right-wing country.
To talk shit on AA. I think that a lot of people benefit from it. And I think that a lot of the higher power stuff in most of the groups these days becomes just whatever you decide is your higher power, whatever you like need to view as a higher power. But I don't know. I just think it's interesting when you see someone who's successfully recovered and then they start to decide that other bad things in their lives are just addictions. And I'm like, I don't think that everything can be just an addiction if it's a bad part of your life. I think that there's struggles in every day that you don't need 12 steps to fix everything.
Well, and also the larger context is some things can't be fixed. And we all live in a capitalist society and under a right-wing government that is doing bad things to us constantly. So it's like, you know, what's the thing? You can't self-help your way out of capitalism. You can't like recovery group your way out of like the shitty living conditions that people are forced into, especially marginalized people. Like, yeah. And Adam, you're right. We live in a we have a right-wing fucking government.
Oh, we sure do.
I don't give a shit who's president. They're all right wing.
They are.
Yeah, we've been a right wing.
It's insane that we have two parties that they think they're different.
Yeah, we've been a right wing government for a long, long time. And
there are like secular recovery groups and shit out there that don't do the higher power stuff and are more like community based and, you know, work with people on their level. And of course, we all need therapy.
Yeah. That's also just the thing is I feel like a lot of people can't afford therapy. And so these groups are free.
Yeah.
That's another thing. Like sometimes what it comes down to is you just need someone else to listen to your shit sometimes.
Yeah.
Like stand up.
And that I think is a really valuable thing is the fact that you can go to any of these meetings and someone will hear you, which I think is really valuable. I also think that a common thing that I'm realizing lately when I'm trying to help others who are going through mental health struggles and like don't have the resources to figure it out is you almost need therapy and medication to get therapy and medication.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the great.
It's so difficult and they make it so difficult. And so like I'm usually more than willing to help people because I've already done that. And so I'm like, okay, because I've done it and I know that you cannot physically in your brain, I will help you find a phone number or make a phone call for you. And it's just so difficult when you're in that space.
And I will, as someone who's had experience with it, I got a DUI a long, long time ago. And to get my California license, I had to take like classes here. And in defense of AA, there are AA groups, like there's levels to them. There's like the really intense ones where you show up and everyone's expected to talk and detail what their week was like and all this shit. And then there's some where the people get that this is just court mandated shit that you maybe don't really want to do.
And they're quietly.
And yeah, there are meetings where you just show up and listen, which I mean, in terms of it being court mandated, like at least if you're in that situation, know you have that option where you can seek out
also,
the
I
meetings where you just
to that
fucking
point,
sit there.
If you are just even sitting there, you're hearing people's stories and that's going to prevent you mentally, hopefully, from making the same mistakes as all the people around you that are talking about it. And so like that, I think, is actually valuable. I'm not even saying that I think it's all trash or to throw it away or anything. I just think this is all interesting.
Yeah. And it's obviously helped. It's helped people I know. So, I mean, it's obviously not all bad.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it really help some people.
Yeah, same. Totally.
We had a podcast on the network for a long time hosted by someone who was helped very much by 12-step programs. It was called.
Yeah.
I think that it helps a lot of people. And I love that it helps a lot of people. And I don't think that there are a lot of problems with AA as a whole. I think that. Like with exactly what we're saying with stand up is that there's just bad people in every fucking vicinity that will take advantage of other people. And it's just hard to identify those people because narcissists are so pro.
Yeah. Well, and some people, it's.
I have a question.
What's your question?
Do you guys. Okay. So I'm kind of like. I do think that for a long time, I was just attracting people that were narcissists, like in general. And I've been like shedding a lot of that. Do you guys think that if you're a narcissist, you question being a narcissist, because I feel like a lot of people I talk to are like, I don't know, am I a narcissist? And I heard that if you consider being a narcissist, you're probably not a narcissist, because they would be like, I would never be a narcissist.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like one of those things that like people say just because it kind of sounds nice. Like it
right?
makes sense.
I'm like, I feel like you can wonder and still be a narcissist. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's like anything. I mean, I'm not a psychotherapist. I don't have any professional schooling in this area, but like, I don't know. I think it's like anything where it's like a spectrum. You know, I feel I feel like, you know, there are certain qualities that probably, you know, just come with your socialization.
We've all decided to talk into a microphone for a living. So what are we?
Yeah. Right. Like we're privileged people living in, you know, the one of the most wealthy superpowers in the world. Like that privilege is just on its own. And then not to mention racial privilege or gender privilege or whatever that like also brings some like I'm the main character of shit to the party. Like,
yeah.
Just sidebar, Jen, gender privilege would be a great name for a podcast if you were to ever launch one.
Oh.
But just with J-E-N-N.
You know what's really fucked up?
Oh, right. Yeah. With like your name is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I get it. When I'm really glad that when I first made my TikTok account, I had it as Genocide, and I'm so glad I changed that.
Genocide Jen.
Just Jen Oside. It was so, and I like was looking at some old videos the other day and I was like, wow, really glad I changed that fucking name. Holy shit.
Yeah, that was a good choice. But also, it was a good choice back then too. It was kind of a fun name.
I mean, it was a very offensive choice overall to do in the first place.
I mean, it's a, you know,
wordplay. Am I right?
Wordplay.
Yeah, it's a word.
You're right. Wordplay is offensive.
A definition.
Wordplay is so offensive.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about genocide at all? It's hot right now. It's not.
Yeah, it sure is.
Hate it. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Hate it. Not a fan. Kind of wish we could do something to organize and overthrow the people that are currently engaged in genocide.
Yeah.
Yep. In multiple parts of the world. That's the other thing.
Yep.
There are several genocides happening simultaneously, and they are all basically caused by the same institutional force.
Yes.
Us.
Yeah, that was... that.
Hello to our FBI agents.
That was the point of our Thanksgiving episode. We just did a full-on genocide episode, and it ended up going up right when the ceasefire happened, and God, things change quick. Like... even by that point, I feel like things in terms of the U.S. media are even sort of turning against Israel and the way they are responding. But also it's like, what's that going to do? Like, it's not going to change. Like, it seems like such an unstoppable force that's happening.
No, we have a White House that is basically dug all the way in and is not going to waver on it, it seems.
Yeah.
And the media machine is turning around because the propaganda can't work anymore because we're seeing too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I read an interesting article the other day about plans for Gaza after the war ends. And it seems like one that is only going to happen when Hamas is eliminated entirely.
Quote. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the U.S. and Israel super duper disagree on what it's going to look like after. Because Israel's like, we're going to be there. Like, there's probably going to be a buffer zone between the border and the rest of the people in Gaza. And then we're just going to keep a military presence there. And the U.S. is like, oh, we wish you wouldn't. Like, it would be cool if you didn't do that. And then also, if you could, like, put the Palestinian Authority back in power, give them some sort of representation again. And Israel's like, nope, not going to do that. And it's where is that going to end?
You nurtured a settler colonial ethno state with ludicrous military aid for decades, encouraging a government that moved further to the right every cycle and produced its own version of Donald Trump with imperial ambitions. Like, it's off the leash now. Like you, this is, we have created a fascist superpower because we wanted a military outpost in that region. And look what's going to happen. Like it is just mask off ethnic cleansing, the extermination and or complete permanent displacement of a civilian population who has been living more or less as political prisoners for 75 fucking years.
Yeah.
Y'all doing what happened to y'all? Why y'all doing what happened to y'all? I don't fucking get it.
Yeah, well, because that's the thing is it's not even about Judaism. Generational trauma. It's not even about faith. It's not even about that because Israel has treated Holocaust survivors like shit for decades. Like,
Well, I brought this up on the Thanksgiving episode too. It is so eerily reminiscent of 9/11 because it was an act of terror that killed lots and lots and lots of people. And of course, people are going to have an emotional response to that. But like, it can't be what our response was in the United States, which was a whole segment of the population decided, Muslims are bad and they are the enemy. Like,
I don't want to defend the United States' actions in the wake of 9/11 in any way, but this is even worse because this is as if it was like, this is like if during 9/11, the Bush administration sent military fighter jets to take out the planes that were going to crash into the building and then ended up destroying a bunch of other buildings and killing a bunch of other civilians that were not in danger at all. Like, because that's, well, not in danger, but that's what Israel did on October 7th. And so, like, also, the U.S. doesn't have compulsory mandatory military service the way Israel does.
Yeah.
So, like, whatever. I don't want to, it's...
Yeah, see, that's the thing. This whole episode could be this. And
yeah, no, we could talk about this for forever. But like,
what else are you going to say?
Land on the same
point. Yeah, genocide.
That's the thing. I don't know. Like, there's people out there who are like, man, if you're not talking about this all the time, like, are you even talking? And it's like...
Yeah, and
like,
fuck that.
I mean, to a degree, I get it because there are a lot of people, but there are a lot of people that aren't talking about it at all. And right. That's,
I know, and I hate them.
Those are the people that need to hear this. Yeah. But I also agree. Well, it's okay. Like, I've been talking about it. I don't know what the fuck else to say.
But it's also like,
right.
It's not,
right.
I don't know. Like, a lot of people don't know about it. And like,
yeah. It's true.
I think it might be all right just that so many people are listening. Like, because this
I
is.
Agree. And I also think that the censorship issue has gotten so out of hand with it. I have been trying to talk about it. And whenever I do, my views get cut. And it is so much so that it has affected my income.
But it's also not that no one's talking about it. Like, I saw a clip Jake Tapper on CNN. Was talking to someone from the IDF.
People are getting deleted from Instagram for talking too much about Palestine. Like, that is actively happening. And they're trying to pass bills to make it illegal that any of us can criticize Israel or Zionism. So that's what's ultimately extremely concerning to me about the being able to talk about it. We take for granted that we even can talk about it. So maybe we should be louder before they take that away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's the people with that privilege and that platform that should be talking about it because, you can't, I don't know. My story's views are like in the fucking gutter. Like, not that that's a thing I've ever given a shit about.
Mine's cut in half from staying Palestine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and so, but the thing is that enough of it has gotten out there and enough of like the biases have been exposed that like you can't put a lid on it. Yeah. And that kind of gives me hope. I mean, it's a sad thing to say, like, it kind of gives me hope while, like, you know, journalists, children, infrastructure, hospitals are all being fucking targeted for mass destruction. You know, it's a weird thing to say, like, oh, yeah, I get a little hope while that's happening. But people are seeing it and people can't really look away from it. And even the arguments that I've had, you know, people who are on the Zionist side of things, like, in my DMs occasionally where it's like, well, they just fall back to the things that don't make any sense. Right. They fall back to the, it like, well, it's complicated. They fall back because they know that they can't justify what's happening.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key is like, people are being like, well, no, don't engage them about discourse. Don't engage them about like things like From the River to the Sea or Two State Solution or whatever the fuck, like, or the fact that they always say Hamas's charter says we're here to kill Jews when it most certainly does not.
Yeah.
Like they can't justify the consequence. If you don't talk about the discourse and you're just like, okay, discourse aside, you have a government that is, you cannot deny, is carpet bombing hospitals and schools and refugee camps, and children are being pulled from the rubble. Like, you can't deny that. That's what's happening. So try to justify that. Like, how does any of what you're saying equal what this is? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Know what's really fucking going on. Go on Snapchat Maps and go fucking to Gaza and go look at the fucking Snapchat stories of people. Up until the internet got cut off, I was doing that.
I mean, at this point,
going on, because I just didn't trust any reporting.
Like, at this point, you can just fucking watch CNN and see people questioning this. I was about to mention, I saw a video of fucking Jake Tapper the other day talking to someone from the IDF. And this IDF representative was like, listen, I know we've been, you know, dropping bombs and doing air raids and things, but it's all been in the north. And we told people to get out. And this was in response to Jake Tapper bringing up that a colleague's like family members died in these air raids. And the dude was like, well, like not the victim blame, but we did tell people to leave the north. And Jake Tapper was like, yeah, now you're bombing the south. Like, you can't tell people to leave the north.
Yeah. It's crazy then that, yeah, like institutions like CNN are turning, because like Tapper not that long ago was basically an Israeli mouthpiece in a lot of ways.
And here's the thing that doesn't, you know, make
even the NYT. I've been seeing infographics from the NYT, New York Times, that are like talking about it. And it's like, the New York Times, really? Okay.
And it's like, that doesn't make Jake Tapper an anti-Semite to question how this war is going. And I also think there is some element where people on the left are overthinking it when defending Palestine.
Yeah.
Like, one example, there was this professor at, I think, Pennsylvania University, who, like, someone was grilling her about harassment of Jewish people on college campuses, which is absolutely happening. And fuck that, too. Like, that's not good.
Yeah,
like, this shouldn't turn into anti-Semitism here. But apparently there had been people, like, calling for the outright genocide of Jewish people, which, I mean, that's obviously not the path this should take.
They stay doing that, though. People stay doing
that. But also, like, who, but, like, aside from the usual suspects, who is doing that? You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, but here's the thing.
That's my point.
When this professor was
exposed for putting.
Go, Adam.
When this professor was asked about it, the woman asking the question was like, you'll concede at least that that's harassment. And the woman was like, well, that's context-based. No, it's not. Just say yes.
No, it isn't.
Just say yes.
I can break it down real easy. I could break it down real easy for you.
It's not, like, that doesn't mean
you. What about Judaism ever aligns with genocide of people?
Well, also, it doesn't mean you don't support Palestine if you say yes. We shouldn't be calling for the extermination of an entire race of people. Like, those two things can.
Yeah, but nobody is.
It's just not Judaism's ideals that align with anything that Israel's doing.
Andy,
so why would it be Jewish people?
That's what I'm saying. So why not just say yes? Of course, that's harassment.
Yeah, exactly. People dig in and people, whatever. Like, the discourse becomes the discourse. And that's the thing that sucks about it. Because it's the right is the right. All the right has to do is also, if you're listening to the Anti-Defamation League at all in any capacity, you're not getting any information that's worth listening to, because they're calling Doctors Without Borders anti-Semitic.
That's
like
pretty wild.
They're saying that Doctors Without Borders is Hamas affiliated. And it's like, OK, fuck off.
Gee,
what we did, though, is exactly what you should be doing, is talking about stuff that makes people listen and is fun and is different, whatever. And then at the back end, you're fucking talking about this. That's what I've been seeing the most successful meme accounts and shit doing to raise awareness, is like a bunch of silly slides. And then the back half is all about Palestine.
Yeah.
So keep doing that if you can, like, be a little trickster, really fucking get in there. You know, the louder we are while we can talk about it, the better, because it's getting very frightening how few people oppose the bills that they're trying to pass to make it illegal for us to criticize these things.
Yeah. So anyway, we should end on something a little upbeat, huh? What else you got, Andy? What kind of happy shit did you bring? Good news report 2023.
You thought I brought happy shit?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I was going to be like, hey, is there anything you did this year that you're proud of, or anything next year that you're looking forward to?
Oh, sure.
I am working on my hour and it's going to be really fun. It is really fun. And I'm doing it at a clown theater. So
I don't know. I had a pretty rough year, medical Same. Stuff, mostly financial Same. Yeah. stuff. And I feel like I'm pulling out of it and I'm looking forward to next year. I feel like I've been just kind of coasting this year because I've been in pain a lot. And it's been rough. But hey, yeah,
I haven't had a year as rough as yours, I don't think, but I've also had a pretty like some medical stuff, some health stuff, a pet dying, et cetera.
Yeah. But I mean, I did some cool shit.
I almost got evicted.
That's not good. I did some cool shit. I went to Paisley Park with Andy and my wife.
Hell yeah. That was great.
Yeah. We saw Prince's house. Yeah, I was going to bring that up when we were having the comedy discussion. Like, me and Andy were like, should we do some shows when I'm out there?
When the fuck did this happen?
And it's like, nah, let's just fucking,
when were you here?
Let's go to Paisley Park and fucking.
No, I wasn't there. Adam was here.
I was in the Midwest. Oh, okay. And it was like, we could do some shows in South Dakota. We could do some in Minneapolis. And we were like, let's go to a haunted house instead. Actually, two. We went to Prince's Let's house, go. Which That's is the first dope. Haunted house, and then one at the Mall of America also.
Yeah.
Cute.
Yeah. It was nice. It was like one of That the highlights fun. Of my year, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. It was.
Aww.
It was a fun. I was there very briefly, but we got a lot of hanging out in, and I got to watch
some solid hangs in.
I got to watch a Bears game with my friend Grady. Shout out to Grady if he's listening. I hadn't seen him in 1,000 years.
Whoa, yeah. You guys are old.
Yeah, crazy.
nice. What's
up?
But I have another question. Do you guys like holiday movies?
What, I mean, you know, depends.
I've always been notoriously kind of against Christmas music. Like, I'm not against, I'm not against it. I'm not mad at people who enjoy it, but it's not my thing. Like, I don't seek it out, but I will rewatch the same holiday movies every year.
Dude.
And
I
I'll Amen. Watch, well, I'll watch Christmas Vacation every year.
Solid. Yeah.
I still like Silent Night, Deadly Night, even though that shit got pulled from theaters after 5 days for being a little problematic.
I fucking love Silent Night, Deadly Night. That's like one of my favorite movies. I watch it every year. I watch multiple entries from that series every year.
What happened?
Look, Reagan was president.
Yeah.
Like, it was 1984.
Okay. I was not alive.
A bunch of fucking busybodies in the Midwest were like, Santa killing people. No, not on our watch. And it's like, Santa killing people is not a new concept.
I mean, he commits a pretty brutal rape early up top. Too.
Well, but yeah, that's not the that's not the one killer Santa. It's a different killer Santa.
Right, oh, okay. Well, if it's that. A different one, then it's fine.
Yeah. Well, he's a bad guy. We know that he's a bad guy.
It's what makes
he's not
the other
good guy killer Santa.
It's what makes it the
sounds
other
like the prequel to Bad Santa.
I did like Bad, really Santa, bad Santa. Also, that was
yeah.
Bad what Santa. Was the one you fun? Said before that though? What was the one that you said? Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
I love Christmas Vacation.
It's great. It's so fun. One.
Also, why am I blanking on the sorority? Like
Black Christmas?
Yes. That fucking predates Halloween. Good movie. Yeah,
by 4 years.
Yeah. That's a really good Christmas slasher film.
Yeah. I love horror, Christmas horror movies. Holiday slashers. Big fan of them. And I watch a bunch of them every year. And there's a new one. Oh, yeah. What do you got?
Did see and remember, speaking of holiday slashers, I saw Eli Roth's Thanksgiving at the Vista, which is fucking brand new. Quentin Tarantino bought it and revamped it, and it's fucking awesome. It is so slay. I know we have bad feelings about him. Whatever. He killed reopening that movie theater.
I mean, I missed that theater, I'm glad that theater reopened. I'm not a fan of Tarantino owning it.
What did you think of Thanksgiving?
He has, hated at the Thanksgiving. Snack bar,
really?
He's got all of the fucking OG OG movie snacks, but then also every size, every kind of every Kit Kat bar. Like every flavor.
Wow.
Like just like the perfect amount of old meets new kind of shit. It was a great experience. And that movie was fun.
Yeah. I thought it was fun too.
I thought it was boring as fuck.
Really? I thought it was fun. I liked the beginning and then whatever.
I liked the beginning. I liked how it started. I was expecting it to be entertaining. I wanted more gore
the whole time. I will say it was.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And also I don't know. The beginning and end was great. The middle, I will say, I did have boring moments. And also someone was trying to give me popcorn and I was like, I don't want any more popcorn.
Hate that.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Give it to me. I'll take it. I'll never say I don't want any more popcorn.
Well, you can come next time.
My biggest weakness. Yeah, let's go see Thanksgiving again.
Yeah, I didn't hate it.
You didn't like it, but you'll just go for the popcorn.
I just, people who follow me on Blue Sky, which I think is most people, who listen to this and just most people in general will know that I just
get on there more, huh?
I just skeeted.
Yeah, let's make Blue Sky a thing.
I mean, we should. That's the only site I actually use, like Twitter, is
Blue Sky. I keep forgetting about it.
And I just too.
That's the problem.
I just posted a thing questioning how it took this long for there to be a horror movie called It's a Wonderful Knife, which is on Shudder right now. Like, how did that not happen a long time ago?
Is anyone using Threads? Because hate it there.
Not
I
trying.
Hate no it there. And what I do on Threads is post Hoobastank lyrics to The Reason. I just copy and paste. If I remember Threads exists, I will open it and just copy paste as much as I can of that song.
Instagram keeps trying to get me to join Threads.
Yeah.
Every time I'm like, I'm not doing it.
I regret that I did.
I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I can't. I'm fine with Blue Sky. I like it. I like the lack of interaction you get for the most part. It's great if you want to post stuff and see 10 likes as success. It's great.
That's 10 likes. I will say.
I don't know if I've cracked 6.
Yeah, I was like, I don't even know if I've cracked 10 likes on Twitter. I'm extremely shadow banned on like every platform though. I'm constantly just
I've taken to calling it Twitter, currently known as X, because every fucking magazine article is like on X, formerly known as Twitter. It's like formerly Twitter. No. Yeah. Shut up.
Oh my god. We're all dead naming X, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. It's not fucking pronouns.
Elon doesn't even respect pronouns or preferred names. So fuck
no. So fuck his new name.
Yeah, I don't have to respect that. That's different.
No, I just thought it was a funny thing to say.
Well, I
Prancer.
Was
Prancer is what is Prancer? Prancer is one of my. It's my favorite non-horror holiday movie, Christmas movie.
Oh sure.
Oh, I thought it was another app.
No, Prancer with no E.
It's a social media app.
C-R.
It's only active at Christmas time. That'd be great.
It's to pick up. It's to call a ride from a reindeer.
Twitter.
Yeah. I think Christmas Vacation is my favorite. I like Christmas Story too.
It sucks that Chevy Chase was mean to me and my mom in my house. So
Chevy Chase is
in your house. What did he just come over and was like? Sit down and listen to me.
No, my dad weirdly conned his way into being a producer on a movie that was made by the guys who started The Onion. And so there's this movie called Bad Meat that I am in when I'm 10 years old. And they shot a lot of it at my house. And it's like Chevy Chase. And I can't remember the other guy's name. And if you watch the trailer, there's a 10-year-old me throwing a water balloon at a guy.
I'm not gonna watch that or put it in the show notes.
It's a horrible movie and it didn't get picked up anywhere. It's a Chevy Chase plays a governor that they accidentally kill and chop up into meat. And then they have to go get all of the meat so that people don't eat the meat.
What?
That is the movie. I mean, that plot synopsis sounds amazing.
Yeah.
It's called Bad Meat. And yeah.
That is
and
almost.
So Chevy Chase was in my house for a lot of it. And we had a piano and he was trying to play piano in between takes, which was like so annoying to everyone. And then he yelled at my mom for the piano being out of tune. And my mom was like, okay, so pay to tune our piano then. Pay to get somebody to come tune it and it'll be tuned for you. And then he got really mad that there was kids in the house, even though we lived there. And so he like kicked me out of my own house when I was 10.
Yeah, I've never heard anything but that Chevy Chase is just a huge
piece of shit.
Yeah, just an asshole. Yeah.
And I don't remember who told me this, but we were talking about Chevy Chase and they were like, you know, the way Chevy Chase realized he was actually an asshole is they did this like roast of Chevy Chase and all the people that he reached out to that he thought would be all for it were like, nah, I'm good.
I don't want to roast your
not
ass.
Trying to come
It'll
fucking
too real.
Honor you, motherfucker. And it's like, yeah, it probably would have gotten really real.
Yeah. I don't know how to make this funny. I'm just going to say, I hope you die.
Yeah.
Be like, we should just do it.
The perfect roast.
Yeah.
We should do an episode that's all just our stories about celebrities being shitty. I got a few of those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I guess we'd have to define celebrity first.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
Well, you're a woman in LA, so you definitely have a Moby story.
I do not. I do not run in Moby circles. Mobius circles.
Yeah.
I've just like heard so many stories about Moby just being a creep.
Oh, really?
That's so funny. Yeah. Why? I mean, it's not. It's bad, but it just.
Yeah.
Just the fact that it's Moby.
Moby is like the most pretentious person. And I hate it. Like, I don't know how it even came across my field of vision. But the other day I saw an Instagram video or a YouTube video, and it was Moby filming some bullshit like video series he does. And they were going to like a home goods store. And in the beginning of the video, he goes, everyone knows the best way to make me uncomfortable is to make me go to a big box department store. And it's like, what the fuck? Like, that is the best way to make you uncomfortable.
Everyone knows.
And yeah, everyone knows.
Getting together and talking about it.
It's like, I don't believe. Yeah, it's like, I don't believe you, Moby. I think you're lying right now.
Ugh, it's such a weird, like, an absolute thing to say. Like, everybody knows. It's such a weird
Everybody
thing.
Knows this tiny
everybody
little fact
knows
about
I'm
me.
I'm feeling that about obscure bullshit about me that nobody knows. Yeah. I'll be like, everybody knows that.
And it's like, why would that make you uncomfortable? You're Moby. Most people aren't going to recognize you for one thing.
You're Moby. Everyone's already uncomfortable around you.
No one has ever been comfortable around you. Ever in your life, Moby.
Department store or nah, no one wants to be around you.
I would recognize him in public just from his tattoos.
I think I would recognize his animal rights tattoos.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
I like the moment in the Woodstock 99 documentary where they let Moby go on at length because he's kind of an asshole in that documentary.
Oh, there's no way I haven't run into this guy, though, actually. You're right.
And in that documentary, he talks about how Woodstock 99 is so antithetical to what the first Woodstock was and all the sexual assault and all the violence. There was none of that at the original. And
none of that in the rave tent.
Well, also,
wait,
he's like, there was none of that at the first Woodstock. And then they cut to someone being like, there was. There was
a ton of that. Yeah.
There was just no internet.
So much of that.
There was no way.
Okay. I Googled Moby just to see, like, remember what he looked like, because all that I remembered was his dumb bald head. And I was like, have I run into this man? But it says genres of music, and it's the most contradictory genres ever. I'm going to read them to you. Electronica, trip hop, house, down tempo, ambient, alternative rock, techno, punk rock, chill out.
Mm.
That's sure. Just... sure, Moby.
No one knew what to write.
Punk rock. What I am absolutely tickled by, Jen, is the idea that Moby probably was creepy to you at some point. You just didn't know it was him at the time.
Yeah.
That's like so likely of so many people. Like, I'm sure people have hit on me and I'm just like, I don't care who you are. Go away.
So
my favorite thing to do is to pretend that I don't know anyone. That's been my favorite move in stand-up, by the way. Post-pandemic, if I'm ever around people, even if I've known them for years, like since I've known you guys, I'll be like, hi, I'm Jen. It's so nice to meet you. It's my favorite thing to do.
Wow. Wow.
I bet that makes people feel great.
It makes everyone who sucks feel bad, and I'm happy about it because that's good karma because they suck.
Yeah, that's true. Oh,
Jen Scott, bully.
I just want to blow up and act like I don't know nobody.
Mean girl.
That's what everyone in LA wants. So I think that is our episode, right? Moby feels like a good place to end.
Yeah. Based on Moby. We worked through genocide to get to Moby. Yeah. And that's the stamp of quality.
And that's Moby, the American dream.
Moby just catching strays on this podcast. He's like, well, what did I do?
What the fuck did I do? You said everybody knew that big box stores made you uncomfortable, you piece of shit.
Not on our watch.
We defend. Take your friend Chevy Chase and get the fuck out of here.
We defend Home Goods on this show. Thank you very much.
I love that Home Goods would even be a department store in anyone's mind.
I got my patio cushions there, sir, which I did.
You said Moby going to Home Goods, and it's like, wait, why? What?
Yeah, what Home Goods could you possibly need from there?
Well, they were going there because it's the place you take him if you want to make him the most uncomfortable.
Oh, it's like a haunted house for him. So is it just footage of Moby walking around the Home Goods, like screaming?
Bumping into poor people,
somebody comes, an employee comes around the corner and is like, may I help you, sir? And he just runs.
Just punches him.
Turns down the towel aisle and is like, ah!
What are these? Yeah, now I should have watched the rest of the video. Like, what if he did? Like, what if he just passes out the minute he walks in?
What if he died in that Home Goods?
Yeah, we're like, oh, what a pretentious fuck. Meanwhile,
Hunter Biden's podcast. What?
Oh yeah, was it on a Biden pod? Something like that. I don't know.
I'm clicking. Wow.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he walks in that Home Goods and just starts convulsing. Eyes roll back in the back of his head. He's talking in voices.
It's Moby's podcast. Moby, Lindsay, and Bagel sit down for a conversation with Hunter Biden in his home.
Is Bagel a pet?
I don't know.
I hope it's just one single Bagel that's always on the show.
Nope. Bagel has an Instagram, and I don't think Bagel's a pet.
What?
Is Bagel is Moby's kid?
Candace Bergen Bagel.
What?
Okay. I'm looking her up.
Candace Bergen is
I know who
person.
Candace Bergen is, and I know what bagels are, but what is this mashup?
Did somebody draw a picture of Candace Bergen on a bagel?
Is it Candace Bergen Bagel?
She's
like, did Candace Bergen and a bagel walk into the machine from the fly?
I'm wrong. It's a dog.
It's a pet. Okay. All right. Thank God. Yeah.
Candace Bergen and a bagel walk into a bar.
I was like, she has an Instagram, but also, why is that the full name of this dog? Whatever.
Is that the dog's name?
Moby lore.
I'm a fan of Candace Bergen and I'm a fan of bagels, so I can do the math.
So the dog's name is Candace Bergen Bagel?
Yeah, at least on Instagram.
Oh, that's the coolest
they
thing about
the
Moby.
The dog in the podcast notes is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's Moby's
like that.
Most endearing feature now is that he has a dog named Candace Bergen Bagel.
I mean, if you're talking to Moby and Hunter Biden, I'm focused on the dog named Bagel for sure.
I don't know. I've never heard Hunter Biden speak. And
what?
I don't think he can.
Hunter Biden? That's probably the smartest thing about Hunter Biden is you don't like see him on TV flapping his gums that much. You know, you gotta follow him on the gram to see him smoking crack in a bathtub.
This is from 9 hours ago. Why are we relevant right now?
Oh, we're promoting a new episode of Moby's podcast.
Damn, we are on top
of it.
Guess
how many views it has.
You got anything to plug? Just Moby's podcast.
Guess how many views it has from 9 hours ago with the literal fucking president's son and Moby?
Six.
69.
No. Higher.
420.
Ooh, 9/11.
420.
1800. It's 1800.
That's actually not
that
much.
Which is still bad. Yeah,
that's still really bad. Very few. Yeah, for the president's son and Moby and a dog named after Candace Bergen.
We need to get them all on America. Here. Give them the "you don't even like this show" bump.
This is what the president's son is during genocide. Doing during genocide, he's going on Moby's podcast.
Oh God.
I mean, in his defense, he's got bigger fish to fry right now.
He's got to find his laptop.
Smallest fish to fry, honestly.
Well, for one thing, he just today got charged with like 8 more counts of various crimes.
Oh, really? I'm not keeping up. And also another hilarious choice to have happen and then go on Moby's podcast. Maybe that's a safe space.
Netanyahu is going to be on Moby's podcast next.
Oh, that was what I was thinking about in general.
Talking about beating charges.
Talking about all of the Israel stuff and like sharing all of the things and the infographics and all of that is I just like have this vision of Netanyahu on Instagram scrolling through Silver Lake influencers' Instagram stories and being like, you know what? They're right.
I don't think that's going to happen.
I know. That's why it's fucking funny.
Oh.
I just keep playing that scene.
Some
in my
comedian's
head.
Gonna post a crowd work clip.
Change everything.
Like, oh, he's got a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. He just closes the app.
Oh man, if they're roasting me at Flappers, I'm fucked.
Cause he does have an Instagram. That's what made me think about all of this.
Every politician does now, right?
Oh yeah. My God. I bet we live in the bad place.
Yeah, you gotta be Obama now.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay.
Yeah, 9 new tax charges.
Yeah. All right. We can probably wrap this up, right? This is fun.
This is an extra deluxe episode.
Thank you both for bringing the energy and the topics. I appreciate it. This was very fun.
We both did that?
I kind of honestly wish this is just how the podcast worked from now on.
It could be.
If I was
it
just
could
like,
be, baby, everybody else is doing it. Try less. You know what I mean?
Also, if everyone can't do this, they don't deserve to be on the podcast. If you can't just fucking blah, 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 blah.
If you can't show up and entertain me, why are you
here? I got index cards, podcast. Bitch.
Wow.
I came prepared.
I opened my notes app last night and wrote podcast notes, and that's all it says.
That's hell all yeah. You need. That's all you need. So
that's all you need. Vision board.
So
the intent was there.
Hey, thank you both for doing the pod. I appreciate it. What do we have to plug before we get out of here? I plugged everything up top. So Jen, what do you got?
Buy the fucking t-shirts I designed so that Adam and I can afford to live.
It's a pre-sale. They're available through the end of the year. But if you buy them this week, they are cheaper than they will be the rest of the month. Thanks.
So do that. And also, gifts don't have to be on Christmas. So if you want to buy it for somebody else, you don't have to give it to them on Christmas. It's not that big of a deal. I like to give people gifts all the time that's not Christmas.
Yeah.
So there. Also, I am working on my hour like I talked about a bunch. So there's another siren. Everyone's dying today. I don't know. I post about it a bunch. I've been posting more clips of me performing, so please watch those, share those. If you want to see me perform where you live, please harass your local venues and I will come do that.
Yay, yay. Andy, what do you got?
Listen to Moby's podcast. Check out Home Goods.
Free Hunter Biden. Just joking. Free Hunter Biden. Yeah, I don't give a shit.
Get a PAX Plus. I look good for the boys. We're doing we got right now, I mean, speaking of Thanksgiving, we did an episode about that where we had to say nice things about it. So, Jen, that's for you. Adam, I guess that's for you, too. You liked it. We're doing a couple of Black Christmas episodes. We got a deluxe Christmas episode coming out, I believe, on Christmas Day. And then we're going to have our year wrap up and then we're going to take a little break and then be back in February. But yeah, looking for the boys. New episodes for the next few weeks. And I think that's it. I think that's all I have. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Joyous Kwanzaa. Have a tight Yule. Etc.
Tight Yule?
Keep that Yule tight.
Tight Yule, bro.
Know what I'm saying?
We all know it is.
All right. Let's get out of here. Jen, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Andy, please say goodbye.
Bye, 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 bye.
Whoa, huge, huge if true.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you.